Welcome to NFP for Life with your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. Dr. Ruppersberger is a board-certified GYN with an NFP-only practice in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. He and his wife are both certified natural family planning instructors for the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. God is in control. We believe that his children will not be forsaken. God is in control. And now here are your hosts for NFP for Life, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to our program, NFP for Life. It's a beautiful weekend after Easter, and we're approaching Divine Mercy Sunday. And as we normally do, we'll have Betty open with a prayer, but we're going to have something a little bit different today for our program. We're going to have a guest that will be speaking to us over the telephone. But you'll still be able to call in at 215-345-1570. Our phone lines will be open with a live program for the entire show. And as our program director is in the other room getting our guest on the phone, Betty will open with a prayer.
Welcome, everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, all is vanity but to love and serve you. I desire not to offend you, because you are such a loving Savior. I offer you my will so that I choose all that you choose. Jesus, you do not demand great deeds, but only self-surrender and gratitude. My Jesus, I offer myself to you that you may be perfectly accomplished in me your holy designs, and I pray that nothing be an obstacle to their accomplishments. I believe that you are my shepherd, and I shall not want. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Before our guest comes online live, I'd like to mention that this coming Thursday evening at St. Ignatius Religious Ed Center, Father Martin Padovoni, a well-known author and writer, will be coming to St. Ignatius in Yardley. That's April the 27th, 2006, from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m., and Father will be discussing healing wounded emotions. I know a lot of us have wounded emotions, and we've had a lot of problems throughout the years with different issues. And Father has a book that is extremely popular, and he'll personally be coming to the parish. There is no registration, and we just ask for a free will offering. And refreshments will be served. And if you are interested, you can contact the parish at 215-493-3377. Good afternoon, Father Otto.
Good afternoon, Dr. Ruppersberger.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Welcome to WISP 1570, NFP for Life.
Thank you.
Now, to our guest out there, I'd like to introduce Father Jim Otto, who is well known to Betty and I. We became acquainted with Father several years ago through an Alpha program at St. Ignatius Parish and through some of our Eucharistic adoration.
And also through our NFP ministry.
Yes, and through our NFP ministry. And he's been a lecturer at our Philadelphia Natural Family Planning conferences at St. Mary Medical Center. But, Father, why don't you tell us where you are now and what you're doing now?
Sure. Right. I'm at St. Agnes Parish in Sellersville. I'm a parochial vicar here. In a certain sense, unfortunately, in a sense, we had a loss in our parish. I'm parochial vicar with power of attorney, our pastor, Monsignor Malloy, passed away suddenly about a month ago. So I'm kind of like the acting pastor until June when we get a new pastor, but I'm very happy here in St. Ignatius, or St. Agnes in Sellersville. It's right just south of Quakertown, a little north above Lansdale.
That's wonderful, and I'm sorry to hear about the passing of the pastor. I'm sure he'll be
missed.
Yeah,
we're really in mourning. He's really a great man, but he was such a great pastor that things are pretty well in place, so it's not too difficult, the burden to, you know, keep the parish moving forward until we get
great.
A new pastor.
And speaking of moving forward, my understanding is that you have a very exciting program and guests coming up very soon. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on with that?
We have the international speaker, I could say international evangelist of the theology of the body, Christopher West. He's really traveled the world over spreading the good news of John Paul II's theology of the body. And he's going to be here at St. Agnes Parish on May 10th, 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. He's going to be doing two two talks. We'll do a basic introduction to the theology of the body and a break. And then basically there are six main parts of the theology of the body. I'll give a summary of those six parts followed by an opportunity for Q&A. So May 10th, 7 o'clock right here at St. Agnes in Sellersville.
Now, how, if anyone's interested in attending the program, Father, should they go to the parish website or call the rectory, or is there a pre-registration?
Yeah, they could do. There's no pre-registration. There's no charge. There'll be a free will offering, but there's no charge. Anyone is very much welcome. If they wanted to get directions to the parish, they could do one of two things. One would be to go to the parish website. That's stagneschurch.org, stagneschurch.org. And directions are right there. Or we do have a contact person who's been phenomenal with setting up the logistics, and that's Mary Ann Reagan. And they would contact her at our parish number, which is 215-257-2128, extension 126.
Okay, I'm writing that down, and we'll repeat that several times throughout the program to make sure that anyone who may be tuning in a little bit later can pick up that information so that they can access that. So this gives us an opportunity now, because I'm sure that, at least in our experience, not a whole lot of people have been exposed to theology of the body. So
Well, it's a growing number. It's still a minuscule number of people that even know about it.
So why do a program on theology of the body, Father?
Well, it's really, at my parish, for your show, it's a natural. I mean, for your show, it is a natural to be on the Natural Family Planning for Life show and talk about the theology of the body. Pope John Paul II developed this theology of the body in response to Humanae Vitae. And Humanae Vitae was encyclical in 1968 that really, it really felt like a bomb. A lot of people, even within the church, expected that the Pope would, say that the use of contraception within marriage was moral and licit. And of course, he did not. And he said that this encyclical could only be understood in light of a total vision of the human person. Now, he himself did not sketch that total vision of the human person. Pope John Paul II has sketched that total vision of the human person and presents it, and then looks at the encyclical Humanae Vitae and breaks it open and explains it in a very powerful way. So it really answers very powerfully, you know, why can natural family planning be licitly used, morally used, and why contraception can never be moral and all, and there's just two totally different visions of what it means to be a human person, of what sexuality and marriage are about, undergirding these two different things.
Can you talk a little bit about that vision? Because I think that, to me, that seems to be one of the most significant aspects of this entire work, is that it is a new vision. It seems that our secular society has a vision on our bodies and on sexuality that's been distorted over the years through all the different things that have been happening that we don't really need to give time and go into on the air, because I think everyone's aware. But can you speak a little bit about that vision of what John Paul refers to in Theology of the Body, and why he even titled the work Theology of the Body?
Right. So people, why Theology of the Body? What does the body have to do with theology?
Right.
And it's real powerful. The theology of the body doesn't lend itself to too many. It's very powerful, and it does take time to kind of dig into the riches of it, but a powerful, almost little soundbite that speaks to that question is that Pope John Paul II said that through the incarnation, the body entered theology through the main door. Christ himself, the Word made flesh, the second person of the Most Blessed Trinity, the Word of God took on flesh. So the body entered theology through the main door. So the body has everything to do with theology through the incarnation.
And since we're made in the image and likeness of God, our bodies have a sacredness to them that we have diminished, I think, in our secular world over these last 40 years, 50 years since Humanae Vitae came out and spoke to the truth about contraception. And I think that that's a significant aspect that a lot of people don't really understand and realize.
All right. I mean, our bodies are sacred. They're they're holy. And I mean, you spoke to, and I'm glad you said we don't really, it's so obvious, the distortions of sexuality in our world, which really doesn't need to be stated. What is lost is one of the key terms that Pope John Paul II uses in the theology of the body is the nuptial meaning of the body, the marital meaning of the body. God so wanted us to know the meaning and purpose of existence that he built it right into us. It's built into our bodies. The fact that we are male and female, called to marriage, called to marital union, it's written right into our hearts, and it speaks to us of our penultimate destiny, marriage in this world, and speaks to us of our ultimate destiny, the wedding feast of the Lamb. And if we really have the eyes to see it, this is what our bodies tell us, that we're called to union. We're called to union, and ultimately union with God in the wedding feast of the Lamb. And most people are called to get to the wedding feast of the Lamb through the vocation of sacramental marriage. And it's a beautiful explanation of the sacrament of marriage. Maybe a good thing to do for the listeners would kind of be to break open a little bit this vision that the Pope presents in the theology of the body. He does it in six major parts.
Well, before we go there,
Yeah, I just want to remind our listeners that we will take your phone calls, and we would love to hear from you. Please call us at 215-345-1570. If you have a question or a comment for Father Otto, or you want to discuss anything about theology of the body, and we'll be happy to get into that with you. And again, 215-345-1570. And Father, I would like to know, why is this, it's almost obvious, but why is it so important that we learn more about these works of John Paul II? And, you know, as a Catholic growing up, I used to hear my mother and the nuns say, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when I think about this theology of the body and how important our bodies are to us, I don't think society today is appreciating the beauty of it all. But with this theology of the body and this presentation, I notice that there's a lot of talking about human sexuality and marriage. Is this program appropriate for any age, or what would you recommend?
Now, there are people that break open the theology of the body for like a junior high and a high school level.
Uh-huh.
You know, people like Mary Beth Bonacci and Jason Everett.
Right.
I would say, Christopher's geared for an adult audience, so I would say 11th and 12th graders would very much be able to come and get a lot from it. I would have, it might be good to have their parents with them,
mm-hmm.
To bring them, but it really would not be geared for junior high and even 9th and 10th grade if the parents would think it appropriate to bring them.
Mm-hmm.
But, it is geared for adult and young adult audience. Really, the key would be for parents to come and to understand and to get materials to even plunge more deeply into the theology of the body to be able to share it with their children and break it open in an age-appropriate fashion. But,
Les and I always say, we spoke to the eighth grade a week or so ago in our parish, and we are firmly convinced that parents in today's society don't really understand much about the theology of the body or the human sexual.
Parents need to be here. Parents need to be here. Parents, especially children any age, but especially high school and junior
Absolutely.
High students, those approaching it, they need to know. I once said the junior high schoolers themselves, he's not designing his talk to be
exactly.
aimed at that audience.
Right.
They need a lot of entertainment value, and he's really going to be breaking up. He's a very entertaining speaker, Christopher West, but he really has the gift to really break open the content
right.
and very powerfully.
I'd like to just recommend that people that are involved in their home and school associations come and listen to Christopher West, because it's going to prepare you as parents for the future when your children do approach their sexuality and
Yeah, and parents. Their parents are the primary educators of their children. They can't pass this off. They can get assistance
right.
in educating their children, but they are the primary educators. You cannot pass this most important duty off, like to explain to them who they are as men and women and why God made us as men and women. Well, and how to make sense of the desires of our hearts.
Exactly. But also, too, I think not only learning this information for them to help their children, but also to help and strengthen their own marriages. Because having been exposed to a lot of these conferences, I mean, it really opens your eyes to this beautiful focus.
No, it's truly marriage enrichment.
Right.
And I know even, you know, at all ages, you know, people mm-hmm. are tempted to, quote-unquote, spice up their marriage in ways that are just the opposite of that, you know, to really, you know, depersonalize their marriage. And couples truly want to spice up their marriage, understanding the theology of the body mm-hmm. and getting deeper into the truth and beauty of God's plan is really the way to go.
I would also think that the program would be especially important for people who teach pre-Cana, who have to explain natural family planning and human sexuality to couples who are about to get married. Couples who are preparing for marriage and who are about to get married, it would certainly be appropriate for to come and listen to what their marital union and their vows really are all about. That's why marriage and matrimony is a sacrament in our church, and I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the first sacrament that God actually instituted in the Garden of Eden when he joined Adam and Eve together and said the two shall become one and told them to be fruitful and multiply. So I think pre-Cana and RCIA, as well as the parents, would all do well to attend this program that Christopher West is going to do at St. Ignatius, or St. Agnes. I'm going to be saying that for the whole 40 minutes now, Father. At St. Agnes Parish in Sellersville on Wednesday, May the 10th at 7:30 p.m. And the contact number is 215-257-2128, extension 126, if you're interested in getting more information, or you can go to the website.
Right, and could you just give us the address, just so that people will have an idea of exactly
where you're... Sure, it's 445 North Main Street, Sellersville,
okay,
Pennsylvania.
Great.
And it's right off 309. There's Sellersville exits off 309,
mm-hmm.
coming northbound and southbound.
What's the zip code there, in case somebody wants to look on MapQuest?
18960.
Okay, great.
And we'll be mentioning that a couple of times throughout the program, and I'll just invite our listeners again. We have an open phone line at 215-345-1570. We're speaking with Father Jim Otto, who is out at St. Agnes Church in Sellersville, and we're talking about theology of the body, and they're inviting Christopher West to come out and speak to people who will be coming there on May the 10th. Father, we started speaking a few minutes ago, and I would like you to get to the meat so we don't run out of time at the end of the cycles that are outlined in the theology of the body. I why don't you explain to our listeners how our Holy Father broke his talks down into the six cycles and what they are, and get into that a little bit.
Sure. Thanks, Dr. Ruppersberger. Maybe just to speak really quickly about the importance, someone like papal biographer George Weigel said
sure.
that there were 129 catechetical addresses. The first major teaching project of Pope John Paul II was to teach about this theology of the body, or another working title was Theology of Sexuality. He said that it constitutes a theological time bomb set to go off with dramatic consequences sometime in the 21st century. It's dramatic. It changes lives. Pope John Paul II said himself about it that the theology of the body is not merely a theory, but rather a specific evangelical Christian education in the meaning of being a body person, a human being. We're all called to understand this. He said it's the most suitable basis for educating a person as to what it means to be a human person. So understanding these six cycles, the six-part theology of the body, there's six parts and two major divisions. As I said, Pope John Paul II developed his theology of the body in response to Pope Paul VI's encyclical Humanae Vitae. And Pope Paul VI said that this teaching on contraception, the immorality of contraception, can only be understood in light of a total vision of the human person. every aspect of our life can only be truly understood from that perspective, but particularly these questions about life. In the first half of the Theology of the Body, the first three cycles, Pope John Paul II paints this total vision of the human person, basing himself on the words of Scripture and always going from the Gospel, the words of Christ himself. And the first part is, he calls it original man. What was the experience of the body, of marriage and sexuality like in the garden before sin? And the second part, we know that unfortunately sin did enter the garden. And he calls this historical man. This is our historical experience. But in this historical experience, Christ has come. Christ has come to redeem us. That's the second part of the Theology of the Body. The third part of the Theology of the Body is the wedding feast of the Lamb. We hunger for more than this world. We're made for fulfillment in this world, but penultimate fulfillment. We're made for ultimate fulfillment in heaven. What will the experience of our body and marriage and family be like in heaven? Now, that's the total vision of the human person, the first half of the Theology of the Body, the first three cycles. And then Pope John Paul II applies in the last half of the Theology of the Body, the fourth, fifth, and sixth cycle. First of all, in the fourth cycle, he applies it to the vocation of celibacy, the celibate vocation. And then he applies it to the vocation of marriage. And then in particular, the sixth part is a reflection specifically on fruitfulness within marriage, the encyclical Humanae Vitae. And that's kind of like a broad stroke.
Mm-hmm.
Can I break it open a little more? Maybe share like a key scripture or two about those six cycles that kind of open it up a little bit. It's so profound, but this might kind of open it up a little bit for people.
Sure.
The first part, the first cycle, original man, right from the Gospel of Matthew 19. Jesus is asked about divorce. Now, the teachers of his day, the rabbis, all allowed for divorce. It was just a matter of, some rabbis allowed for a lot of reasons, some for a few reasons. So they're really trying to trap Jesus in Matthew chapter 19. They're asking him what his opinion of divorce is. If he said for a lot of reasons, that would have been the wrong answer. If he said for a few reasons, that would have been the wrong answer. Too conservative, too liberal. It was a trap. They were going to get him. But he really blows their doors off by saying that, you know, Moses allowed divorce because of the hardness of your heart. But in the beginning, it was not so. What was this experience of the beginning? And Pope John Paul II, following Jesus, pointing us back to the beginning, breaks open what was the experience in the beginning. And one key scripture from the beginning is that in the beginning, Adam and Eve were naked without shame. And Pope John Paul II said, if you don't understand that scripture, you don't understand what it means to be a human person fully. Mm-hmm. You don't understand why was the man naked without shame? Because in the beginning, they were called and created in the image and likeness of God, male and female. They were called to the one flesh union of marriage. And they saw that call with the eyes of their body and with the eyes of the heart. Their bodies revealed to them their call to give themselves to each other in the image and the likeness of God.
And I think to carry that even one step further, when they looked at each other, they saw God. They didn't see the biological bodies as we see them now in our fallen nature. They could literally see the image of God in looking at each other and felt that call to that one flesh union, that communion that mm-hmm. our Eucharistic sacrament reflects.
Right. Like what we largely have in our culture is a cult of the body.
Right.
An idolatry of the body. What is penultimate, our desire for union with the opposite sex, is made to be ultimate. And that's idolatrous. Rather than seeing the body and seeing through it like an icon, you see the image, but you know what the image points to. They knew that their sexual desires really in and of themselves were an icon. Yes, I have a desire to be united with Eve. Yes, I have a desire to be united with Adam, Eve would say. And it's a very powerful desire, and it's a beautiful desire. But I know that that is a sign pointing to the even deeper desire in my heart to be united with God. And through being united with Adam, I'm going to be united in a very beautiful way with God. This is the sacramentality of marriage. And they knew that their bodies, yes, they imaged the mystery of God, God who is love.
Now, I know a lot of people have some difficulty in understanding the first segment of the second section, the celibacy for the kingdom segment. And I know that because you're a priest, you can speak most personally to that, because not everyone is called to the vocation of marriage. And even though it is sacred, and even though the two are called to become one, maybe you could explain to our listeners a little bit about what that celibacy for the kingdom actually reflects.
Sure. I mean, ultimately, you know, we're all called, well, most people in this world are called to the sacrament of marriage. Not all are. Some are called to the single life. Some are called specifically to consecrated celibacy. But we're all called to the wedding feast of the Lamb. We're all called to union with God, marriage with God, eternal ecstatic union with the living triune God. And in the image and likeness of God, every man and every woman is called to be, a man is called to be a husband and a father, and every woman is called to be a bride, a wife, and a mother. All are called to be spiritual mothers or fathers, husbands, brides. Some are called to be both. Most are called in the sacrament of marriage to be both physical fathers and mothers and spiritual fathers and mothers. Some are called for the sake of the kingdom to sacrifice being a physical father or a physical mother to all the more spiritually father or mother. It is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of something very good. And Pope John Paul II specifically says that if a celibate were not to understand the beauty of sexuality and the beauty of marriage, that would not be a true embracing of the celibate vocation. It is not a denouncing of marriage or sexuality or the body. It highlights the beauty of the body in another way, and it really highlights the ultimate meaning of the body, that we're called to nuptial union with God. And in that way, it all the more highlights the importance and the beauty of that penultimate expression within this world of sexual union, marital union in the sacrament of marriage. So I think that's something that I think a lot of people don't understand, and they've seen it as a disparagement of marriage, and it's not that at all. Mm-hmm. And the Pope is really clearly saying if someone would embrace celibacy with that understanding, they're missing the boat. That's not truly an embracing of God's intention for the celibate vocation.
And as an aside, those who are called to the single life are also called to celibacy.
Right. I mean, really, you know, the call from our baptism, I mean, we are all called to be virgins.
Right.
Everyone is really, the call of baptism to be a virgin for those called to marriage until marriage. Now, Christ forgives sins and the sacrament of reconciliation, but that really is the baptismal call, because our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Some people are called to make a consecrated act of the celibate vocation. You know, other people live that in the single life. I mean, some people might think, well, I'm called to be married maybe someday. Maybe that will happen someday. Maybe it won't. But they're called to live virginally in this world, and they would gain light about that vocation through understanding this cycle on celibacy that the Pope presents.
And they should be expressing their sexuality in their union with Christ in that single life.
Exactly. I mean, our culture really, you know, every cell in my body is male. Not just my genitals, but every cell, and that's true of every person. You know, sexuality is much more than our genitals.
Right.
And we express our sexuality, you know, through our persons. We're male, we're female. Everything we do expresses the gift of ourselves, is meant to, the gift of ourselves as a man or as a woman. And right, so as someone living a single life, either permanently or temporarily, hoping, planning to be married someday, they are called, you know, to sacrifice the physical expression, which in that context would not be in the image and likeness of God. It wouldn't be, mm-hmm. you know, moral from that perspective. They're called to sacrifice that, but not to sacrifice union, to all the more be drawn into union with God. And that's the reason that a lot of marriages fail, because people don't see that union with this man or union with this woman is not going to ultimately make me happy, that this is not my ultimate goal, is not union with this person. My ultimate goal is union with Christ. My union with this person is going to help draw me into union with Christ. And ultimately, it's a sacrament. It's a sign. It's a sign for this world that will end after this world, to point us to the wedding feast of the Lamb. I mean, Christopher West uses a powerful, I think, a little analogy in terms of, you know, Jesus says about the third part of the theology of the body, you know, heaven. And in heaven, you're not given in marriage. You're not given in marriage in heaven. That's why, you know, someone whose spouse passes away can remarry. They can remarry because the sacrament of marriage is a reality in this world. In heaven, there's not the sacrament of marriage. Sacrament means what? Sign. It's a sign that points to something greater than itself. The sacrament of marriage in this world points to the wedding feast of the Lamb, our spousal union with God in the ecstatic, eternal union with the triune living God in heaven.
I think he uses the analogy that if you're on your way to Chicago, you need signs that point you to Chicago, but when you arrive in Chicago, you no longer need a sign to tell you that you're in Chicago.
That's right.
And so,
no sacrament of marriage in heaven, because you're in what the sacrament of marriage pointed to.
Right.
The wedding feast of the Lamb.
And I just want to remind our listeners that we're here to take your calls at 215-345-1570. And on our little cheat sheet here, Father, we have one of our questions. Can you speak briefly as to the idea that God wants to marry us?
I mean, ultimately, that's what our bodies tell us, that God wants to marry. He wants to be one with us. And what did St. John the Baptist say about himself? First of all, he said that I am not the bridegroom. I'm not the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus wants to marry us through the gift of himself on the cross, made present in the Eucharist. He wants to become one spirit with us. He wants to totally, as the Pope would say, penetrate our humanity with his divinity. There's a beautiful, and that would ultimately be the wedding feast of the Lamb in heaven. But really what Pope John Paul II is doing in the theology of the body is really breaking open the theology of the mystics and really initiating people along that trajectory of the mystical life, that even in this world we're called to marriage with God, even in this world. The mystics talk about nuptial union, transforming union, the seventh mansion of Teresa of Avila. There's a beautiful statue in Rome that was done by Bernini in the 1500s, and it shows, I guess the 1600s, it's called Teresa of Avila in Ecstasy. And, you know, use your imagination, look it up on the internet. Teresa is in ecstasy, and she's tasting on earth the gifts of the world to come. She is tasting spousal union with the God who wants to marry us now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Teresa is a doctor of the church. She's a doctor of prayer. This is God's call for us. He wants to marry. He wants to be one with us. He wants to totally penetrate our humanity with his divinity.
Father, how come most people don't hear about this? This is, like you said, this is like an atomic bomb that's set to go off in this century. And I know that it's for those who may not know, it's a rather lengthy book. It's over 500 pages long, and there have been some simplified versions written, one by a priest right from our own area, Father Vincent Walsh. Mm-hmm. And then Christopher has some works, an introduction to theology of the body for beginners. And he'll probably have some of his books and tapes when he comes to your parish at St. Agnes there. And I have to correct the time earlier. I had mentioned that it was at 7:30, and it's really not. It's at 7 p.m.
7 p.m. Mm-hmm.
Right. And that'll be on Wednesday, May the 10th at St. Agnes in Sellersville, for those of you who may not have heard it a little bit earlier. The other issue, I did say 7 p.m.
Yeah, well, I would just want you to repeat it. That's all. I didn't want anybody to miss it.
Would you like to repeat it again?
We'll repeat it again and again.
But
it does take time. I mean, it's groundbreaking theologically, and he began this in 1979, completed it in 1984.
Right.
You know, why hasn't it made greater? Why hasn't it been more disseminated than it is?
I mean, we don't hear it mentioned in homilies. I know that out at Immaculata, because we know Sister Sheila Galligan, who's the chair of the theology department, that they now have an actual course on theology of the body for credit. And I know that Christopher's on the faculty out there and can teach out there. And he lives in our area locally, mm-hmm. so we have access to him and all of his works and everything. But we just don't seem to – there doesn't seem to be – a lot of excitement about this. I know it takes time for things to catch on, but I would think that the excitement would come from the top, from people that understand this. And I know
we don't get higher than the Pope, right?
Yeah. But and I will say that for a 35-year-old married man with children, Christopher West, there's for those of you who have never heard him and never seen him, I'm telling you, you will be mesmerized for 2 hours. Make the effort to drive out to Sellersville and go to this program. This man is on fire.
No, he is.
And his entire life's work.
He is, and maybe some or even the younger generation have heard of Bishop Fulton, but I know that recently a bishop said to Christopher West that he thought that Christopher was like a Bishop Fulton
yep.
of our own day. He is very, very gifted speaker, and he's really laid his talents at the feet of Jesus, and he really brings alive this theology of the body. We know, Dr. Rupersberger and Betty, you know, people say that there's really three categories of people. I mean, those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, those who ask what happened. And the Pope has made something very powerful happen, mm-hmm. this development of the theology of the body. There are now another group of people waking up to what has happened. They're watching, they see it, and they themselves, by grabbing a hold of it and understanding it, young men like Christopher West, or becoming a person that makes it happen. It has not been widely disseminated yet. Mm-hmm. There is a groundswell on some levels, but it needs to be much more widely spread. So this is an opportunity for everyone to come and to see a man whose life has been transformed by the theology of the body, Christopher West, who God has then used to spread this around the world.
Right.
And you yourselves are called to come and to receive the message, to penetrate it more deeply, to receive that same fire, and to spread it in your own sphere of influence.
Right, and that's what he talked about with the evangelization. It's our responsibility to go out and evangelize, but we have to catechize ourselves, and we have to learn.
We do, because it really does touch hearts. To understand it and to be able to explain it, conform your mind and heart to the message, and be able to translate it to the audiences that you're in front of, your children, or your parish, or your coworkers, it really has the power to touch and open hearts.
Well, one of the things that impresses me the most about theology of the body is that when you reflect on some of the reading, there are two universal questions that are answered in the theology of the body. The first question that is answered is, what does it mean to be human? And I think a lot of people are wondering who they are, why they're here, and what it's all about. And that question is answered very directly in theology of the body. And the second question that is answered is, how am I supposed to live my life in a way that brings true happiness? And that is also answered. So with all the junk books that are out there, with Da Vinci Code and movies and all the other nonsense, the Gospel of Judas and things that people are questioning, here is a work that gets to the very heart of the matter of what it means to be human and how you're supposed to live your life to be happy.
And, you know, our hearts are confused, you know, so in order to be happy, we have to understand that there was a time before sin, but sin did happen, and that Jesus came to redeem us, and that there's real efficacy in his life and death and resurrection as that's given to us through his word and through the sacraments to change us and to heal us. And that's a real good news for our culture, where there is such woundedness and brokenness in the area of sexuality. For example, one of the key quotes that Pope John Paul II breaks open in his Theology of the Body in that second cycle, historical man who's been wounded by sin but offered the redemption. He quotes St. Paul in Romans chapter 7, "What I do, I do not understand, for I do not do what I want, but I do what I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I concur that the law is good. So now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that the good does not dwell in me, that is in my flesh. The willing is ready at hand, but doing the good is not. For I do not do the good I want, but I do the evil I do not want. Now if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So then I discover the principle that when I want to do right, evil is at hand. For I take delight in the law of God in my inner self, but I see in my members another principle at war with the law of my mind, taking me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Miserable one that I am, who will deliver me from this mortal body?" Now, I mean, so far that's bad news, but we can relate to that struggle. We know that the good is written into our hearts, what we're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we also know that there's a struggle to do it. Who can save me? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus came to save us. He didn't condemn us. And another powerful scripture that the Holy Father breaks open is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. And it really, at first inspection, and honestly, before hearing the teaching of the Pope, I didn't understand that. It really sounded very condemning. This scripture, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery.
Mm-hmm.
But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And of course, that works the other way. A woman looking at a man who's not convicted by the scripture, but the Pope says Jesus didn't come to condemn us, he came to save us. So what he's saying is that the disordered desires in your heart, you can enter into the mystery of Jesus' redemption and reach back to the way Adam and Eve's hearts functioned before sin. I want to offer you the redemption of progressively inheriting more and more those graces through the graces of redemption. You can find healing for the disorders in your heart. It's good news.
Well, I just want to bring up the topic of why our culture so obsessed with our sexuality. What went wrong? I mean, of course it was, you know, we fell in the garden, but it seems that our culture today, it's even more intense with all the pornography and internet things and the breakdown of the family, all because of our, you know, adultery or, you know, lusting after someone else. What happened? What's your thoughts on that?
You know, God so powerfully wanted us to be one, to mm-hmm. be one with him, that he really did give, you know, powerful drives and desires in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when powerful drives and desires are disordered, it causes disruption.
Mm-hmm.
And disruption, written large, is what we see. And, you know, in the Garden of Eden, it wasn't just Adam and Eve on their own that messed things up. You know, there was the work of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And if he, you know, he knows God's plan, that God wrote right into the bodies of Adam and Eve and all, you know, of their children, all their descendants, the call to be one with him and one with each other penultimately in the sacrament of marriage, if that's your call. It's written right into our bodies. You know, where is he going to strike? Where is he going to try to bring his lies? Where is he going to try to strike to bring disorder?
Mm-hmm.
And he really is attacking just that, the one flesh union, which Ephesians 5 says is a great mystery. St. Paul, in Ephesians 5, for a man, quotes Genesis, for a man shall leave his mother and father and cling to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery.
Mm.
This is a great mystery, and the enemy knows it's a great mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And St. Paul goes on and continues that, but I speak of Christ and the church. The union of Christ and the church is the greater mystery that this great mystery points to.
Mm-hmm.
If we understand the great mystery, it's a door, it's a channel, it's an icon to launch us into the experience of the greater mystery, the union of Christ and the church. But if that penultimate mystery is distorted, disordered, made not an icon but an idol,
mm-hmm.
you know, the enemy can really keep us from entering into the mystery of God.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is the battle line. And we just celebrated the Easter Vigil. We're in the octave of Easter now.
Mm-hmm.
And during that beautiful hymn, the Exalted, you know, we pray, oh, happy fault of Adam, oh, necessary fault that won for us so great a Redeemer. You know, in a parallel, God never wants sin to happen, but he is so powerful that he can draw an even greater good out of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And this is real, the sin and twisting of sexuality, which is really magnified in our day and age through the sexual revolution. We're seeing such devastating consequences. This is really a response to the sexual revolution.
I believe so also. And this is so powerful. I think if anybody has the opportunity just to hear this message, they'll just want more of it. They'll want to learn more and more, read more, and because it really opens up the door, and it really makes things understandable why we're here.
No, I use the analogy that you know, David, after defeating Goliath,
uh-huh.
he was given the sword of Goliath, the very weapon that was used to hold Israel in bondage, was now, you know, used by David to set Israel free and then win many victories for them. So I really see, like, in the theology of the body, that Pope John Paul II is giving us the sword of Goliath.
Yeah.
You know, the distorted lies of the sexual revolution, he's untwisting them and giving us the truth and really giving us a sword. There's still a lot to do. The word has word has not been out.
You right.
Know, it's getting out in some circles, but there's much work to do. Many laborers are needed in the vineyard. Every listener is needed in the vineyard to understand
right.
this message and to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
But the word will be gotten out at St. Agnes Church on Wednesday, May the 10th, in Sellersville at 7 p.m. with Christopher West. And so if you're interested, make sure that you take a trip out there and visit the website at stagneschurch.org to get directions. And you can call the rectory at 215-257-2128 at extension 126. There is no pre-registration necessary. They ask for a free will offering. And Christopher will be out there to give two dynamic talks and allow you to ask questions that he'll give answers to. And normally when he travels, he brings a troop with him that provides his books and his CDs and his tapes to make this a lot more understandable. I listen to these constantly in my car. You know, instead of listening to the radio, you can drive. If you have a 20-minute or a 30-minute drive to work, you can very easily listen to one of these CDs, and they are just amazingly, overwhelmingly powerful with information, and they're eye-openers, and you say to yourself, like, why didn't somebody tell me this before?
Right.
Like, you know,
there's a lot of broken hearts out there with all this sexual sin, and we need to pray for people.
There is. Maybe just to share a little bit about Christopher and really encourage everyone that we can do the same thing with this message as we really make it a part of ourselves and share it. He had been in charge of the Marriage and Family Life Office in Denver, Colorado.
Uh-huh.
So he was working very much so with couples preparing for marriage and running those programs. He was such an awesome speaker that he was sought off to, you know, sought after to speak here and there, that he really felt that the Lord's calling to make that his full-time work, which it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was in Denver, Colorado, he would do these weekends of breaking open the theology of the body and really bringing it down to where couples in their 20s or 30s, where they're at preparing for marriage and bringing the message to them. 91% would admit, like in exit interviews, to being sexually active,
mm-hmm.
you know, before marriage. After this weekend, he would regularly have 2/3 of the couples would say that in light of the weekend, we really want to wait till we're married to have sexual relations. And the majority of the couples wanted to plug into natural family planning classes
mm-hmm.
after hearing this message. They weren't on like page one
right.
with this before the weekend, but having this shared with them brought about conversion. It really does happen.
I think we need to incorporate it in all of our pre-Canis, and hopefully our archdiocese will come to that, you know, because...
No, I agree. I mean, I think Denver, with Christopher's leadership and the support
mm-hmm.
of, it was at first Archbishop Stafford and then Archbishop Chaput, really the premier marriage preparation done in the country that I know about is in Denver, Colorado, where this course in the theology of the body, a weekend seminar, like based on it, but, you know, really broken
mm-hmm.
up on a 20, 30-year-old level where they can understand it. And also they're asked to take a full course in natural family planning. I think both of those things should be required everywhere, and we'd see so much conversion.
Well,
we're working through that. So part of it is everyone coming out May 10th and hearing Christopher and finding out more and disseminating it in your own parishes and your own families. And
well, the beauty of it is that we're all called to evangelize. He's not a priest or religious, and you know, being a married man,
right?
It's a beautiful message, and he is there to give information and the joy of our faith through theology of the body. And it's not like you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that, but here's what it's all about, and that's what touches me so much.
No, right? It's a call to happiness,
mm-hmm.
and it touches the deepest desires of your heart.
Right.
Father, we have 4 minutes left on the program. Why don't you wind up with any final thoughts and then finalize with a repeat of the program that you're going to have at St. Agnes?
Sure. I think, you know, especially for, you know, the program that that you and Betty are doing, NFP for Life, a very powerful section is that sixth cycle of the theology of the body, where really the Pope John Paul II explains how this total vision applies to the question about family planning. And a powerful scripture he breaks open is Tobit, and there's really a beautiful prayer where, well, it's in Tobit, it's actually the marriage of Tobiah and Sarah. And before they consummate their marriage, they pray this prayer. Blessed are you, O God of our fathers. Praise be your name forever and ever. Let the heavens and all your creation praise you forever. You made Adam and you gave him his wife Eve to be his help and support. And from these two, the human race descended. You said, it's not good for the man to be alone. Let us make him a partner like himself. Now, Lord, you know that I take this wife of mine not because of lust, but for a noble purpose. Call down your mercy on me and on her, and allow us to live together to a happy old age. The Pope says, breaking open that scripture, that the marriage bed is the place where the forces of good and evil compete. Will I love in the image and likeness of God, or will I not? And the culture of life or death grows out of either answer to that question. The theology of the body is a way for people to embrace the call to embrace life and to lead people away from and out of the culture of death.
And I just want to let our listeners know, and also you, Father, that this program will re-air on April 30th on Sunday at 2 p.m. Normally we follow the Sunday after our program, but since it's Divine Mercy Sunday, it's going to be held back a week. So on April 30th, this is going to be re-aired at 2 p.m. So if anybody out there is just catching the last bit of it or whatever, please tune in on Sunday, April 30th, 2 p.m., and be prepared and willing to want to come to the the presentation on May 10th at 7 p.m. at St. Agnes Church.
Father, a final prayer or blessing?
Sure. You would pray along the lines of the theology of the body. Their eyes would be open to this great mystery.
And thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you very much for being our guest and for bringing us this message and for being brave enough to step up and have this at your parish and offer this to your parishioners. And I would encourage everyone out there who may be listening to please consider opening up your minds and your hearts to the message that comes from this beautiful writing of John Paul II. And come listen to a man who spends his life speaking of this, and you'll have the advantage of having Father Jim Otto also there, who can help answer questions and finalize information with this. So, Father, we thank you very much for being with us today. And
thank you, Father, and God bless you.
God bless
everything
you.
Everything you do.
Sure. Do we have time for the...
Go ahead. 20 seconds.
Okay. Come, Holy Spirit, open our minds and our hearts to the great mystery hidden in the depths of God from all eternity. Plant deep within our hearts an abiding hope in the resurrection of our bodies when we behold God face to face and the wedding feast of the Lamb. Amen.
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 Thank you, Father, and God bless you. Have
God
a great
thank
weekend.
You. Thank you, Doctor.
Thanks.
Betty, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to NFP for Life with your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. NFP for Life is produced by Holy Spirit Radio and can be heard on the third Friday of every month at 4 p.m. and encores the following Sunday at 2 p.m.